Good morning, Cornerstone. Will you pray with me? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world to receive blessing and honor and glory and wisdom and power and dominion. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the King of kings, you are the Lord of lords. And in this holy moment, we come together, united in heart and in mind, to focus solely upon you and your glory. We are grateful, Lord Jesus, for the difference you have made in our lives. Grateful for your saving grace. Grateful for your healing power. So quiet our hearts in this moment and allow us to dwell in your presence in peace and calm, to hear your voice and to see your face by your Holy Spirit. More than anything, we desire, Lord Jesus Christ, to be conformed to your image. To see you as you are. And as we patiently await the day for you to come again, send refreshing and renewal and revival into our hearts and into this world. Bless us with the glory of your Shekinah in this place. And transform us by the renewing of our minds, for your glory, and in your name. Amen. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was conceived in Mary's womb to the declaration of peace on earth and goodwill to all mankind. And this is how the Father God perceived Christ coming into the world, that Jesus Christ would become the source of all peace. Peace among mankind, peace between man and creation, and most importantly, peace within. Because the Father knows, and Jesus also recognized, that the lack of peace within leads to violence and all manner of sin. The person who does not have peace will always seek to deny peace to those around him. The person who does not have peace will struggle with insecurity, jealousy, and envy, will lack clear direction because of her interior instability and disheveled nature. We all need peace. And this internal lack of peace will ultimately lead into all sorts of sin, because the heart that is in regular conflict with itself, the mind that is in constant turmoil and unrest, will always trace the cause of its pain back to someone or to something outside itself. In short, the lack of inner serenity is the breeding ground for sin. And so Jesus begins his discussion with his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 1, with these opening words. These things I have spoken to you so that you will not be led into sin. These things I have spoken to you so that you can prepare your heart and your mind to resist temptation. You are going to be tempted to sin, but I have spoken these words to you so that you will be mindful and attentive to yourself, so that you do not become distracted and seduced by your suffering into believing that sin is the only recourse to bringing resolution to your problems and to your pain, that sin is the only means of finding peace within. Believe me, brothers and sisters, as long as we are in this world, our peace is going to be challenged. So long as we get out of bed in the morning to start our day, the troubles of this life will be lurking and probing and challenging our right to a serene existence. No question about it. Jesus warns his disciples that one of the ways they'll be tempted to sin is through rejection. He warns them in verse 2 and says this: they are going to ban you from the synagogue. They are going to reject you. You will be rejected. They will refuse to acknowledge you as an equal. They will refuse to acknowledge you at all. You will be rejected, Jesus says. And rejection is painful, especially when it comes from the hand of the people that you love and trust the most. Rejection is a dehumanizing form of mental abuse. It is offensive. It is a slap in the face. You will be rejected. And what is the instinctual reaction to being slapped in the face? Retaliation, retribution, and violence. But Jesus Christ here warns them of their plight in advance so that they can rightly interpret their rejection, not as a cause for retribution, not as a cause for revenge, but as the inevitable consequence of their acceptance into the family of God. It is necessary that you be rejected. The world hates God. And if you have cast your lot with Jesus Christ, you must be prepared for the world to hate you. This discrimination that they will experience, this banishment, this rejection can lead to a sense of insecurity, which in turn can lead to violence. And Jesus admonishes us to be aware of this. This will not be their only temptation. Jesus goes on to predict that a time is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering a service to God. What a dangerous time. A time is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering a service to God. A time is coming where hurting you, where harming you, and even killing you will be viewed as a religious duty, a religious obligation. Jesus says there are going to be some people who dedicate their entire lives to hunting you down and snuffing us out. Now, most people spend their lives in pursuit of pleasure and the avoidance of pain. And so maybe your first instinct when you hear Jesus give this warning, maybe your first instinct is to back away, to refuse to participate in society, to go your own way, to find you a quiet and calm place in the desert and sit all alone in order to avoid this persecution. You have trouble on your job. You feel harassed by your boss, so you resign and you find another job, you find another career, and in just a few short years, the people in that new place treat you just as poorly. And so you decide, I'll start my own business then. That way I won't have to interact with bosses and other people so much. Maybe I can insulate myself from the strife in this world. No. But evil finds you even there. In other words, there is no place to run, Jesus says. There is no place to hide. Rejection is going to find you. Violence is going to pursue you no matter where you go. You bear the marks of the kingdom of God. And meanwhile, as these troubles are bearing down on your soul, pounding at the doors of your tranquility, you will desire to see Jesus Christ like never before, but there will be moments where even heaven seems to have turned against you. Jesus says to them concerning his crucifixion in verse 10, says this, I am going to the Father, and you no longer are going to see me. In the middle of your turmoil, in the midst of the upheaval and your pain, my physical absence, Jesus says, is going to become more and more apparent and poignant to you, more and more palpable that I am absent. And you're going to be tempted to lose hope. You're going to be tempted to throw in the towel, just to walk away and become another number in the crowd, a gray man, indistinguishable from any other Gentile. You're going to be tempted to walk away. You're going to be tempted to just blend in and just go along to get along. Because really all you want is to be accepted. All you really want is to be acknowledged and esteemed. But the question Jesus asked is, what price are you willing to pay to gain that sense of stability, that sense of belonging? Which of my teachings are you willing to overlook or disregard just to alleviate the pressures of animosity and antagonism that the world has directed your way? What are you willing to compromise? You must stay the course. When the world outside you, when external circumstances are beating away at your resolve, as heaven appears closed to you and Jesus Christ feels nowhere to be found, you must stay the course. And Jesus knows that staying the course is going to cause you even more suffering. He prophesies in verse 20 of chapter 16 and says, you will weep and mourn. You will grieve. And the pain of your depression may cause you to seek relief in all the wrong ways. And the impossible weight of your emotions are sometimes going to make you feel like your life is about to cave in and fall all apart. And sometimes life is going to get so hard and your enemies are going to become so emboldened and hateful that Jesus says in verse 32 that you are going to be scattered, each to his own home. You're going to stop fellowshipping with other believers, disenchanted by the church and disillusioned by Christian brothers and sisters, running away from one another while all of you are running away from the world. You're going to be scattered, scattered physically, scattered mentally, scattered emotionally, soul wearied and gut wrenched. You're going to feel lonely and afraid, paranoid even. It is going to be an extremely unsettling time for you, Jesus says. And you know what this was? This was Jesus Christ's pep talk to his disciples, and this is Jesus' motivational speech to you and to me. And at the very least, we have to admit that this is an unconventional way to motivate the crowd. You are going to be rejected. You are going to be hunted. Your annihilation is going to become the religious charter for many. You are not going to be able to see me, and you're going to be scattered. There is not going to be one safe space for you in this world. Not one single solitary corner of peace will you ever find in this world. In this world. But Jesus goes on to say this in verse 33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In me. You won't find this peace in the world. You won't find this peace on your job. You won't find this peace at the fishing hole or on television. You won't even find this peace in your own house. Only in me. Let me ask you the question. Where are you trying to find peace? Listen to these words of Jesus Christ today and understand that peace is not to be found in any other place than in him. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the author of tranquility. He is the harbinger of calmness, of silence, and of restfulness. Jesus Christ. Chaos continues to consume this world and the people of the world. The world is at war because of the conflicted hearts of humanity. But you and I, child of God, we are in the world, but we are not of this world. We are born again out of the whole cloth of heaven. We stake no claim here. We hold no grudges. We hoard no glory from this putrefying place. And our souls only find rest in Jesus Christ alone. How do we access this peace? How do we access this peace that is found only in Jesus Christ? Jesus teaches us in verse 4 that we find our rest in him by trusting and believing that Jesus Christ is in total control. This is what he says. These things I have spoken to you. These things I have warned you of, so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And when you do recall that I told you about your suffering in advance, you'll also realize that if I already knew that your suffering was coming, that I've already made a way for your escape. Jesus Christ is in complete control of your situation. And he demonstrates this to them by showing them in advance what is going to happen in the future. He's already there. He is yesterday, today, and he is forevermore. He knows the end from the beginning. Now, someone will say to me, yeah, well, Brother Calvin, if Jesus Christ is in total control, if Jesus Christ is really in charge, why doesn't he just stop the suffering in advance? And the reason why Jesus Christ does not disallow your suffering, brother, the reason why Jesus Christ does not disallow your suffering, sister, the reason Jesus does not alleviate your pain is because it is by our pain and by our suffering, our tears, and our grief that we are made more like him. It is through that sanctifying fire of agony and woe that you and I are being purified. Our suffering does not feel good, but our suffering is good for us. It is good for us that we are afflicted. It fortifies our relationship with Jesus Christ as we learn to share in his experience of suffering, to know him in the power of his resurrection, to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. We understand Christ better when we suffer as Christ has suffered. Another primary means by which we access the peace that is to be found in Jesus Christ is by the Holy Spirit. Jesus declares here in verse 7, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I am leaving. For if I do not leave, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It is my hope and my prayer today that each of us is well acquainted with God's Holy Spirit. I pray that every one of us taste the sweet calmness and the satiating comfort that only the Holy Spirit can provide. The Holy Spirit causes the noise of this dying world to seem quiet. The Holy Spirit blunts the arrows of every one of my accusers. The Holy Spirit douses the fire of the devil's rage. The Holy Spirit administers to us a peace that is predicated not upon this world or life events, but a peace that is founded upon the truth of God's word. That's what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. In verse 13, he says, he will guide you into all truth. And thereby he will allay all of your fears. Thereby he will mute all of your doubt. And he gives us a peace which surpasses human knowledge, human understanding. He will guide us into all truth. We can find peace in Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ also has defeated our enemy. Verse 11, Jesus declares that the ruler of this world has been judged. That the ruler of this world has already been defeated. His plans and his schemes have already been unraveled. His power has already been rescinded. And though our adversary remains a roaring lion, he has been defamed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we, brothers and sisters, have no reason to be alarmed. And we can live in peace. We can also live in peace because the Holy Spirit is watching out for us. Concerning the Holy Spirit, Jesus says in verse 13 that he will disclose to you what is to come. He, the Holy Spirit, will give you advance warning. He, the Holy Spirit, will equip you for battles that you've not yet even engaged in. The Holy Spirit is our watchman on the wall. He hovers above the chaos of this world, and he opens up a safe passage for you and for me. He guides us in the way most wise, in the way most beneficial to our life, to our flourishing. And we find soulful rest in the Holy Spirit because not only does he show us what is to come in this world, but the Holy Spirit also encourages us with what awaits us in the future. And Jesus says in verse 14 of chapter 16, the book of John, that the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ. For he will take from what belongs to Christ and he will disclose it to us. He will show us what's in Jesus Christ's bank account. He'll show us the numbers. And why will the Holy Spirit show you and me what's in Christ's bank account? That seems like private business. Why would the Holy Spirit share the details of Christ's wealth with you and with me? What a wonderful reason. And the reason is because Jesus Christ's account is a shared account. And your name, brother, and your name, sister, and my name, and the names of every believer throughout the ages have complete ownership of all that belongs to Jesus Christ. Christ's bank account is my bank account. So what the Holy Spirit is really doing is showing me what belongs to me. All things belong to God. God belongs to Christ. And we belong to him. All that belongs to Jesus Christ belongs to me already. Why am I telling you that? So that you can have peace. So that you're not so worried about losing anything. Everything already belongs to you. There's nothing to lose and there's nothing to. He will take what belongs to Christ and show it to you. I love that. This is why we can experience peace even when our world is falling apart. This is why we can experience peace even in the midst of great loss in this world, because we know that we have treasures stored up in heaven. And not only that, but Jesus says we can draw down on his account anytime we want to. That's what he says in verse 24. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. So that your joy may be full. I know you're going through some hard times. I know you're struggling in this world. I know you're suffering from rejection and false accusation and abuse. So I'm going to do you a favor. I'm telling you that you can ask in my name and you shall receive. Because I want your joy to be full. Because I want you to be happy. Don't tell me happiness is not a part of Christianity. Jesus said that he wants my joy to be made full and complete. But the joy we experience when the Father gives us what we ask him for is not based on the value of the gift. Our joy comes from knowing that the Father has heard us and we have his full support as we traverse the dangers and the snares of this world. We're happy because we know that God is on our side because he heard us when we asked. Jesus goes on to explain in verse 27 that we can find peace in this world because we know that the Father loves us. He says in verse 27, the Father himself loves you. He doesn't just say the Father loves you. He wants to make it real personal. The Father himself loves you. And that is quite enough to cover us with complete and utter peace, to know that we are loved by God, that we are accepted by him. Even when this world rejects us, even when this world seeks to do us harm, we do not feel forsaken because we know the Father's love. We can have peace. And even though Jesus Christ does not yet appear, we have peace because we believe that we will see him again. Jesus says in verse 22, therefore you too have grief now, but I will see you again. I love the way he says that. You have grief right now, but I'm going to see you again. I know you feel alone sometimes. I know that your faith is very often strained by the struggles and the cares of this life. I understand. I can relate to the grief that you have right now, but be encouraged because I will see you again. As surely as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, as surely as the river flows from the river to the sea, Jesus Christ is coming back again, brothers and sisters. During this season, we wait with our eyes turned toward the heavens, desiring to see the face of Jesus Christ. And so intent are we upon the things of God that there is no distraction and there is no concoction, there is no rejection, there is no hostility that can move us from our post. In this season, we quietly watch and we wait for him. With all our energies assimilated toward this one and only hope, one thing, David says, have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, beholding the beauty of the Lord and inquiring of him in his temple. That's what I live for. That the Lord whom I seek will suddenly come to his temple, and that my existence will be eternally altered at the sight of him. John says it best, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that we will be changed because we shall see him as he is. I preach this to myself. And then finally, we can access the peace that is in Jesus Christ as we consider and as we masticate upon the revelation that the battles that we are fighting today, that the resistances in this world that align themselves against us, that they have already been subdued. Jesus shares with us this dichotomous truth in verse 33, that in the world you will have tribulation. There is no question about it. You're not going to get away from it. In the world you will have tribulation. You will have external conflict. In this world you will experience temporary losses. In this world you will find no peace, only conflict, only chaos. In this world you will have tribulation. But take courage, Jesus says. I have overcome the world. Take courage. Don't go hide away from society. Don't go hide in your basement. Take courage. Be bold and be audacious. Take risks. Go out and live your life. Yes, you're going to be scraped and you're going to be bruised. Yes, you're going to be maligned. Yes, you're going to be mistreated sometimes. But don't let the world intimidate you. Do not allow the losses in this world to make you gun shy. Take courage. Jesus Christ has already won. The world is still disputing because the world refuses to accept this reality. So they make war against us as if killing us will bring them some sort of victory. But they are mistaken. The victory that your enemies seek has already been secured by Jesus Christ. And all of their rancor and all of their insolence only proves that they are still blind to the truth. So let them fight against you. Don't become gun shy. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid to try again. Don't be afraid to risk again. Don't be afraid to open yourself up again. Take courage. I have overcome the world. So let them fight against us. We will not fight back. And we do not answer injury with insult because we know who the victor is. And because the victor is our brother, and because the victor is our Lord, we celebrate his triumph, even when we undergo temporary defeats in this world. We are not afraid to try again, because Jesus Christ has overcome. And you and I, brother and sister, you and I have overcome already in him. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, we know peace because we know Christ. We know peace because we are in Christ. We know peace because we are surrounded by his love and we are surrounded by his grace, encapsulated in his everlasting arms, covered by the feathers of his wings, standing and sitting in the shadow of the Almighty. We know peace because we know Christ. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Precious Lord Jesus Christ, we are grateful for the promises that you've made to us, for the security that we sense in your love and in your presence. And we have found no peace except the peace that is in you. Sometimes this world comes calling, Lord, and the battle is raging. And we are tempted, Lord, to allow the battle to infiltrate our hearts and our mind and to cause us fear and anxiety and worry and doubt. But we thank you for your word today, that in you we have peace. Not the peace that the world gives, but that peace that is eternal in the heavens, secured for us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ himself. Father, we thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you for the victory that you have won through Jesus Christ, and the liberty and freedom that you have secured for every soul who calls on the name of the Lord. We pray, Father God, that you will bring more souls into your kingdom through the message of this good gospel, that more people will come to hear your word, to be convicted and convinced of the power that is in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They will surrender to you. They might find rest for their souls, as you have given rest to our souls. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice right now who is experiencing depression or anxiety, chaos and conflict within. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, peace, be still. Be still and know that He is God. I pray that God will strengthen each of our faith. Cause us to mount up with wings like eagles. Cause us to run and not be weary. Call us to walk and not faint. Strengthen each and every soul under the sound of my voice, even right now. Let your Holy Spirit fall like fire from heaven and renew hope and peace in your people. In Jesus' name.